I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU News. The time is 7:40, and it's at this time of Thursday mornings, at this juncture in the week, we'd like to welcome back into studio the Executive Director and CEO of the Michigan Theater. Russ Collins stops by every week for Cinema Chat, and it's all about Cinetopia.
Well, yes, Cinetopia is coming June 4th through 8th. We are announcing our films, and we'll actually, why don't we loop back to that at the end of the show,
sure.
And we'll get through another film festival that's opening yet this week. It's the Jewish Film Festival, which is on May 4th through 8th. So it starts off this Sunday, and it's always a great celebration of wonderful films from out throughout the world, kind of like Cinetopia, except a little more focused
right. Thematically.
But you're going to have documentary films. You're going to have feature-length films in English, feature-length films in
Hebrew.
Foreign language,
yeah.
All kinds of foreign languages, French and Hebrew. And you literally have films that are just wonderful. A documentary called Reporting on the Times, The New York Times and the Holocaust, The Upside Down Book, The Ceremony, No Place on Earth, The Zigzag Kid, again, a kind of a kid film, The Half Third, Blumenthal, The Attack. Anyway, just really wonderful films. Basically, they're playing at 4 and 5 and 8 every day of the festival.
Between May 4th and the 8th.
Yeah, starting on the 5th. So 4th is the kickoff. There's
right.
a single film. And then the 5th through the 8th, there's essentially three films shown at the Michigan Theater Screening Room, courtesy of the Jewish Community Center and of not only Ann Arbor, but the whole Southeast Michigan region. It's always a proud event, the Marwell Film, Jewish Film Festival, taking place at the Michigan Theater.
Nice.
Coming up next week, technically, starting on Sunday. Opening at the Multiplex is The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
It's going to be a blockbuster. Is this the first blockbuster of the season?
The summer season. Sure, we can call it that.
All right.
That makes sense.
Book movies just seem to do gangbusters.
Well, and Spider-Man, some people are kind of wondering, well, we already had Spider-Man 1 and 2, and now we have The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Andrew Garfield is actually highly praised for his playing the Peter Parker / Spider-Man role.
Who was it that did it first? Was it Tobey Maguire?
Tobey Maguire did a bunch of them. And his chemistry with Emma Stone as his girlfriend is highly praised. The whole film has kind of got a meh, not bad, not good. Rotten Tomatoes currently has a 60%, which is their minimum of fresh. The reviews, again, they're not extremely strong.
But his
they're
performance is well
damning.
Received.
Damning, yeah. And
so is Emma Stone's, I'm sure.
Yes. And there's psychological weight to go with the gravity-defying web-slinging weightlessness. So that's kind of a summary of most of the critical appeal. But Jamie Foxx plays an evil villain. I guess all villains are evil, but a villain.
It's inherent, right?
called Electro, who's more powerful in terms of his special things that he can do than Spider-Man. And Harry Osborn, played by Dane DeHaan, is another enemy, and they're all backed by Oscorp.
Oscorp? Okay.
There you go.
See, I've never seen a comic book movie.
There's a film.
It's kind of like Star Wars Light.
Well, you're in the minority.
Almost every time.
There's a film coming up this weekend that we're only showing once, and it's Lars von Trier's follow-up to his acclaimed film Melancholia, and it's not really related to Melancholia. It's just his next film after Melancholia. And it's got a provocative title. It's Nymphomaniacs, Volume 1 and Volume 2.
And I guess it's quite explicit.
It is quite explicit. Yes, it is. It's two-hour movies, essentially. So it's 4 hours long. And it plays at the Michigan Theater starting at 5 o'clock on Saturday, May the 3rd.
Needless to say, adults only.
It stars Charlotte Gainsborough, and this is Lars von Trier, the director's third film with her. And the film is actually kind of fascinating in that the character that Charlotte Gainsborough plays tells her story, the story of her life, to this gentleman who finds her literally beaten on the street, and she doesn't want to go to the hospital, and for reasons that you're not exactly clear, so he scoops her up and takes her into his apartment, which is, you know, very, very modest, and in genuine concern for her, didn't know her at all, doesn't know her story at all, and then she starts telling the story, and she tries to relate it to things that he's really fascinated with, like fly fishing and other kinds of things from his past, and the analogies are very interesting, and the review that I saw that best represents, I saw the first part of it, the volume one at Sundance, and it says, remarkable, eccentric sex picture that is often brilliant and never simple-minded and dull. And that is absolutely true. So it is, in my opinion, not an exploitation film, although it is very explicit, but quite fascinating in its own way. So again, you're just going to have one chance to see it on the big screen at
if
the theater.
If you can go to
Saturday.
A rather explicit film, and yet it's the dialogue that takes center stage, that's an amazing feat.
And the dramatic context and all of that kind of piece. Now, a very interesting documentary, Nymphomaniac is not a documentary, that is Elaine Stritch, Shoot Me. Now, Elaine Stritch is actually a well-known actress who's been in movies and television, but she's probably best known as a Broadway actress.
She lives around here, doesn't she?
She does. She lives in Birmingham, Michigan. Yeah. She's a Michigan native, and she had her career, and she traveled the world with shows and movies and all kinds of stuff, and she's moved back to Birmingham, Michigan, and she's kind of a loudmouth, character in a lot of ways, and this documentary about her life, she tells the story of her life, and a lot of other people tell the story of Elaine Stritch's life, including Nathan Lane, Cherry Jones, Tina Fey, James Gandolfini, John Turturro, Hal Prince, George Wolfe, and lots of other folks, and they all talk about and pay tribute to Elaine Stritch, who if you're a fan of musical theater, she had a really big number called The Ladies Who Lunch in Company, and just a lot of shows through the years. Started off as a choreen, and went all the way through up until recent times performing on
with
stage
a personality
and
as big or bigger than the plays in which she was
acting. Exactly, exactly. Yeah. So anyway, that's got a very short run as well. It's going to be on Wednesday at 2:15, an early matinee, and it's 6:45, and then our series on Alfred Hitchcock continues with Champagne, which is it's a silent film. It's a British silent film from the late 1920s, and it's going to be performed with live musical accompaniment. And it was restored by the British Film Institute, and it's about a spoiled heiress who defies her father by running to marry her lover, but Daddy has a few tricks up his sleeve and tries to reel her back.
I like the live orchestral accompaniment.
Live musical accompaniment.
Musical accompaniment.
Organ, actually. Okay. And then in 2012, the almost unthinkable happened. Citizen Kane was unseated in the Sight and Sound Critics Bowl
of
the
first
best
every year,
film
forever.
For a long, long time. And Alfred Hitchcock's 1958 film Vertigo replaced it. And this stars Jimmy Stewart as a guy that's plagued by vertigo and has all kinds of mistaken identity issues. Kim Novak also stars, shot in San Francisco, and it's going to play on Tuesday at 7
There's
o'clock.
There's no question. So. That was a great movie, but all I can see is Mel Brooks and his spoof on
High
all
anxiety.
The Hitchcock films. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I am spending about half of my life in Detroit these days working with the fine folks that are helping us put together the Cinetopia Film Festival.
Bigger and better than ever.
That's right, and if you go to the Michigan Theater website or the Cinetopia Festival.org website, you can see the lineup of films as it currently stands. And we've got a really, there's going to be 50 different films that are showing from all over the world. The opening night film is 1982, which won awards at the Palm Springs Film Festival, at the Austin Film Festival. It premiered at the Toronto Film Festival. It's called 1982. It stars Hill Harper, who you may know from NCI New York, Sharon Leal, Ruby Dee, and Wayne Brady, who lots of folks know from Whose Line Is It Anyway. He's currently the
funny
host.
Improvisationalist.
And he plays a bad guy. He's
pull it off?
Oh, he's great. He's really great. He's the neighborhood tough
guy. Because he's about
dealer.
As affable as it comes.
He is, but he is not affable in this movie, and it is remarkable to see. The performances in this film are outstanding. And it's about a guy played by Hill Harper who owns lives in a neighborhood, urban neighborhood in Philadelphia, is trying to raise his very, very bright daughter, who again, a really wonderful child actor, plays the daughter, and just runs into all kinds of troubles. But it is both triumphant and tragic. Not ultimately tragic, but there's difficult things that go on, and triumphant, and you're going to love it. And speaking of Ruby Dee and Hill Harper, who both appeared in a Spike Lee film, Spike Lee's going to actually make an appearance at the Cinetopia Film
Festival. Is that
right? Yep. It's actually a very limited kind of private thing.
Sure.
But there's going to be access to a few of our pass holders, maybe some other stuff with Spike Lee. And then John Sayles, the guy probably best known for Lone Star and Eight Men Out, Brother from the Other Planet, he's going to be here with a whole bunch of folks, cinematographers and musicians, and his producer partner Maggie Renzi, who are all coming to town for a John Sayles symposium. We're showing a bunch of John Sayles film. James Earl Jones was in a John Sayles film, and so we're gonna go check that out. And then the best films from the world's best film festivals: The Case Against Ada, a great documentary from Sundance, The Congress, and just on and on and on. Go check out the website, CinetopiaFestival.org.
Yeah, as of today, the full festival schedule's out.
Yep, and we'll still be making tweaks to it in the days and weeks to come, but 5 weeks from yesterday, the Cinetopia Film Festival will be in Ann Arbor and Detroit. So set aside some time and go to Cinetopia.
For Russ Collins, I'm David Fair, and you've been listening to Cinema Chat on 89.1 WEMU.
Ta-ta from Cinetopia Festival.